Sorry about that. Apologize, I don't really want to repeat all of that. But anyway, it seems like that there's a workable solution to that Institute for Mental Disease designation, that we accept that we would get that and separate where we can, it's practical. That's all I have.
Questions or comments from the committee?
I guess my mind goes to several different places. When we talk about trying to cram all of that in and provide all of these services under one roof, ultimately, when they provide you with a plan, it'd be good to look at that. I can't rationally see that physically possible.
The first four phases only need 40,000 square feet. And there's 193,000 square feet of building there.
Okay.
But they're going to definitely give us a plan of here's where these pieces would go. Part of their scope is to give us a master plan. Here's where the first four go, plus all the other things that we've talked about. Here's where those could go, so we can really get a good sense for what can we fit in the facility. And as we build it out over the next several years phases, we know where things are going to go already.
Is it still their thought with that master plan to be able to do construction simultaneously in both locations?
That is currently the plan. And we've also asked them if their recommendation for the first phase is to not utilize Bruno, then what should we utilize Bruno for and when?
And you're waiting for that answer?
Yeah, we won't probably see the final master, the final, what they call validation, that's called the validation phase. We won't see that until early March.
I just like to put forth an opinion that I would like to see the bed limits be even higher now that we don't really have a limit. I would like to see not just 16 beds for SUD, but 40, 50 or more.
I think we need to weigh that, because if that waiver were to go away and we kept those to those individual licensed facilities at 16 beds, it puts us in a much better position to receive funding. So we'd have to weigh that.
There are also staff restrictions, like how many staff per bed?
Comprehensive might be able to speak, but I'm sure there's some kind of ratios. But our requirement have to be that they can't share certain staff. I mean, administrative staff, I think they can share, but nurses and practitioners and those kind of things, those would have to be separated. I don't know what the ratio per bed is.
Not sure if you wanted me to jump on there or not, Matt, but this is Edie Dibble, Chief Operating Officer for Comprehensive. And there aren't WACs and RCWs that define client to employee staff requirements. We do have staffing patterns that we adhere to for our other inpatient units.
Thanks, Edie.
Thanks.
You bet.
Other questions, comments from the committee?
Yeah, I guess my only other comment, I would encourage when that master plan comes in for all of us to take a good hard look and try to figure out a way for construction to continue simultaneously. I mean, it's great that we're going to have detox. It's great that we're going to have mental stabilization. But after a few days, those people are going to need somewhere to go, such as inpatient treatment. So, sure, I mean, it would do us good to be able to get them in there, to be able to get them detox, to be able to get them stabilized here and now. But without, I guess, continuing to push forward with our master plan of having inpatient services, hopefully some type of housing and complete wraparound services, it's just, though it's great to have, it's just going to be a bad idea, if you will.
And I don't think their proposal changes their schedule at all. So
they
were proposing to build in both facilities simultaneously. They would just put all of that effort now into one location. So you'd still have all the wings probably being built simultaneously.
Any other comments, questions? All right, the field responder RFP.
Yeah.
Or up, Jen.
Okay. Well, where we left off at several months ago, the draft was shared with the group, asked for final comments. I didn't get any comments back. So really left it in the hands of Matt to determine if Benton County was going to take the lead or if it was going to be a Benton Franklin County partnership. I understand Matt, Benton County is going to take the lead on this. So there's a couple modifications that would need to be made. Everything highlighted in yellow where it says Benton and Franklin County would just be Benton County. And then put it out for the RFP to request interest. What I see as next steps after that would be, and I thought we might have it electronically because it's been a while since we've talked about it. So my apologies that we don't have a copy in front of all of you. But on page 7 of 16 of the document, it talks about the evaluation and selection process. So I would see that we would have a subgroup that would be helping with that process. There's an interview, there's an evaluation of the application packet that would be working to determine that. And then after the group is selected, what I would see as next steps would be to we'd conduct the interview process, select the group. We would have a team that would help with the implementation of it. I think there's a number of different stakeholders that should probably be part of that. Police, fire, dispatch, probably the medical program director for Benton Franklin Counties also. That would be part of that to help get them up and running. So those would be my comments, Matt, that I'm missing.
So I don't remember where we left that off, but it sounded like this group had recommended the move forward. So really at this point, I would use the final version as sort of it needs a few edits and then work as our by that to be that we can start moving that through the next step.
Yep.
So question, Dad, the group that you're proposing from a subgroup that's made, would that be ongoing then? Even after we selected the person that's successful or the group that's successful?
I think that's a conversation for the group that I would put it out to see. I'm more thinking about the implementation, but it may not be a bad idea for a while to have that be ongoing to have some conversations on how is it working? We need to make some changes.
Other questions, comments from committee? I believe this was a motion voted on in the last meeting and so I don't know that there's any motion that's needed. Any comments before we move on?
The time frame, you know, once the information gets back to the county pushes the RFP once the turnaround
for us, usually by the time from the time we get it, we get approval from the commissioners to go out. And then to get it advertised, it's 3 weeks to a month. And then with the holidays, we don't have any meetings until January 9th. So we're probably realistically looking at the end of January.
So with this group, the field responders, are they going to like stood up in collaboration to build this facility? I mean, where would they work at it? We push forward and we find a group. So where do they go?
I mean, ultimately it depends on who we pick. I mean, obviously the best bang for your buck is that they are directly tied into the facility so that they can be there operating out of that. They can then, if they're not on an active call, they can be helping out in the facility. And so that's what makes the most sense. But if we pick a provider that isn't directly tied to the facility, then I think we can figure out where to go. And I know we've talked in Chief Gear in the past that indicated that Basco might have a facility that could be utilized for that if we needed it. The county certainly has space that we could find to do that too. Okay. So
we have some conversation too about time to response. Okay.
Usually the models I've seen is they have a base of operations and then they have people in vehicles who have areas that they kind of patrols, maybe not the right word, but they're stationed. In those areas so that they can reduce that time for response.
So for those of us spoke in without this piece, it's actually privately ran by a group of individuals that are about half a mile from the receiving center, which you're calling the receiving center. And the receiving center just picks up the phone, tells them where they need them to go.
Yeah, there's definitely different ways. Yeah. Definitely different ways it can be implemented.
we saw two different ways when we went down there. And one was tied right into the 911 system. They had dispatchers for that program in the same room as the 911 dispatchers. The other one was run by a totally private operation, wasn't tied in, other than they coordinated with PD and fire, they were dispatched by them.
And I think the model we previously discussed was potentially to integrate with dispatch, correct? That's still talking.
And it does make, to me, that seems like the most efficient. That way the PD, fire, and these responders are coordinating directly and faster than having to make phone calls or on the radio system or through use of the computer terminals. And they know who's going where, when they expect to arrive, who's already on scene. To me, that makes the most sense, but you guys live in that way more than I do, so.
I agree, Matt. We didn't go into where they're housed, but in the RFP does talk about ancillary duties, and it was anticipated that they would work very closely with the provider, that it wouldn't be two separate things. There'd be a lot of coordination.
Yeah, there definitely has to be coordination with the provider facilities. Because they need to know what's coming. Then those things are all cheaper. So get over the final version to me, and I'll start rounding through our prices.
Or next week, I'm a TA.
Awesome.
All right. We have the opportunity for public comment again. Do you have any questions for the committee? It's your opportunity to do so. All right, other business.
So a few questions on other business, if I could, just looking at the previous minutes. We had talked about making a recommendation to include partners in committees, not necessarily as voting members. We specifically talked about that in regards to comprehensive. The minutes reference that someone would come back to this meeting with some clear language on how to accomplish that. Is there an update on that? Should be on page 2 of the minutes, kind of towards the bottom.
There's no update on that.
Okay, can we get that the next meeting, just kind of get a better process of how to have non-voting members participating in committees, specifically looking at comprehensive and other providers that we may select in the future?
I think the question was whether that created a conflict of interest.
Correct. The second question I propose based on the minutes is any updates on Sober Incentive?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, thank you for that good segue because I have my notes ready for you. So we actually talked to myself and Sheriff, to the CEO, and Ellie over there at Boards, their CFO. So from a timeline standpoint, they're 6 months away realistically. I think the initial price point that they pitched was around $600,000. They think it's going to be a little bit more. They haven't indicated, you know, how much more that price point would be. Staffing, both the system, 3 individuals. They're not necessarily nurses or RNs, but they're trained in how to monitor someone in a detox situation. And essentially they'll have personnel close by anyway. So they think that the biggest hurdle would be, they're not too worried about it because the facility seems to be able to stop and stop the fasting because they've used it before, just getting past the code hurdles, what they need in there. So I asked them if they have sprinklers and all those kind of things. And, you know, obviously from my past days, I know about capacity and square footage and usage and all those kind of things. So I'm sure they'll work with your team pretty closely. But they didn't seem too trepidatious about it, and it's just a matter of getting all the numbers together. They said by early January they'll have all their fixed costs and everything ready to go, and we're ready to pull the trigger until 6 months from January. So I would assume somewhere in July would be realistic when they'll be able to stand.
Some of the slow ones going to be addressing security.
Right. So
express to them that they need to have their own security, some security members in place. So we get
like a third party security, like hiring security guards.
Well. They already have to. We're going to just have to explain.
So that's the latest sidebar, the new CEO did express interest in being on this. Really engaging. I think we have a spot.
Yeah, it's been vacant since the last CEO got fired.
Actually, there's a lady in the spot. She's the Franklin County Hospital.
Oh. We don't need them.
So Mike, are there any other, I guess, are there any hurdles? Is there anything else that the group is?
Yeah, I think it's just a matter, you know, this group has located, I think, the funding mechanism. Matt, you could chime in here too. Be a resolution, we're going to have to get those funding mechanisms in place that the commissioners want. We have the money, obviously, through the taxing, but I think it's just the mechanics.
Yeah, ultimately, it's going to be a Franklin County contract. We would have to have an interlocal agreement between the two counties. I don't think about if the cities would need to enter into any kind, but I don't think so because they're not paying for it. So it's just a service.
Right, so I think, and I, at least the commissioners, that will still be there. It has their support, so. Just in case anybody doesn't know, Brett intends to resign January 1st, so we're going for selection process. It's a partisan position, so Franklin County Republican Party. Mechanically, we'll choose somebody January 3rd, three candidates. Those individuals will go before our January 4th. So we've moved our first meeting of the year to January 4th. They'll go through the selection process. He asked a few questions here and there. Second session, make that decision. That person will be sworn in on that day and be able to conduct business. So we intend by January 4th to have a new commissioner in place. Whoever's appointed, that individual, if they choose to run, will have to run again. By May, if they want to.
I think BJ just wanted to comment. I think it's good that it's in close proximity to the hospital and they don't have medically qualified. I think we just need to think down the road that we were very clear. If they weren't, if it moved over to KGH, they would need to have people that could medically clear them to be there and then also to move them to the hospital and get to go there. That's a non-issue today, but in the future, I think that should just be a conversation placeholder that may need to change.
Well, this was only temporary.
Correct, yeah.
And let's, I've been pretty clear with them that there's, this does not move to KGH in the future.
Yeah.
You guys are taking this on at all the risks, but from volition, they know that KGH is not guaranteed. And I think, you know, pretty much the lines are intent, they do a great job here, so they're higher, they have a higher consideration if they throw their. That's.
Good, thank you.
Any other questions, comments?
So one more new other business item, if we're done with that one, sorry. Financial, we keep talking about kind of the financial side of this. It's been a while since we've had a financial report. Is there a way to add to a future agenda both report of current capital dollars committed to the capital side of the project as well as current operating revenue coming in for both counties from the mental health? Be great, thanks.
Yes.
The Recovery Coalition, as I told you last time, is having a fundraising breakfast in February, selling tables and sponsorships beginning at $1,000, going up from there. We sold almost all the tables, and so we only have a couple left. If anyone or organization wants to be a sponsor, they should let me know within the next 2 weeks because we expect to sell out and have a crowd of 300 people. And every dollar of profit or buy things for the recovery center.
I do have a update from the from John Roach. I think I'll just read it in. He wanted to share this. He stated that he met with Courtney Heslow to talk about staffing needs, and she's continuing to work on a detailed staffing plan. They're able to talk about general terms in terms of skill sets, SUD, and that involves restarting conversations with Columbia Basin College, since that program was shelved in 2009. Nurses, certainly one of the things that Workforce Development Committee needs to look at is talking with CBC and WCU about whether or not rotations with their nursing students would fit within the their purview in terms of recovery center. Peer specialists, MSWs, looking at regional colleges, Heritage, WCU, Walla Walla, in terms of their programs, letting them know that we're going to be online in the next, he says, couple years. I think that's probably, he's being conservative there, so hopefully sooner than that. Master's counseling degree, again, same idea with the programs that are there, continuing to reach out to regional universities about their programs, letting them know that the need is there. So the Workforce Development Committee will continue the conversations that are needed to grow the workforce in our community. And I don't have anything to answer, so I'm not going to ask for comments or questions. Any other business?
BJ, I had one other thing I wanted to bring up. A few months ago, we made a motion to, I guess, pause capital requests. 1% money that was coming in. We also briefly discussed trying to figure out a mechanism once that pause was lifted to evaluate those requests. Has there been any momentum there?
I don't know that we actually, I think it was recommended. I don't know that we made a motion to form a group.
I don't believe, yeah, it just came up in concept, if you will, but I think it's something that we probably should take a look at, because sooner or later they're going to start to come in again. Should have the rate of value expired
last month. Okay. Because it was 90 days, so that's gone. Yeah. So we've had one person ask about it.
So we need to have a conversation about re-upping the moratorium, since we still don't have them. The whole point was we needed those sort of costs, at least an estimate. So we would know what we had to work with, some contractual rights request to get some of that. And we also got the other information by the end of January to at least have that, the conversation to extend that delay so we can have.
I think we have the sobering center coming up. We have the RFP for the field responders. And I would say until we have some of these bigger things up and running, because it's a startup. Programs that are ongoing, maybe there's one time need, but I agree with what Jason's saying, is there optimal process? Because if you just pick and choose whoever shows up and asks, they can create a fair and competitive process. I make a motion that other than the two that we're currently discussing, the field responder RFP and Children's Center RFP, that we place another 90-day moratorium on funding requests. Hopes that we can get formalized prices in place.
So motion, is there a second?
Second.
It's been seconded. Any discussions or questions with regard to the motion? No discussion. Those in favor of the motion say aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Jason, did you want to do another motion for forming a group that would receive those after that 90 days? Or do you want to wait till a future?
Well, I would suggest that we, I'll make a motion that we form a committee, but perhaps everybody take it back and roll it around a little bit. If that's something you would like to take part in, we can address it during the business at our next meeting.
Okay, so we'll table it for now.
Yeah.
Any other business? All right. Entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those? Meeting is adjourned.